Children grades 3 and under who would like to go to children's church may do so at this time. And as they do, I would invite you to turn with me to two brief passages of Scripture. One, Exodus 28 through 11 on page 63 in the Pew Bible. And the other, Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28, page 869. First, Exodus 28 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. And now Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for mankind and not mankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" I've told you all a number of times about my grandfather Hearn and his thoughts on Sundays. While he enjoyed church, he transferred this idea of Sabbath rest to Sunday to an extreme. No one was to play, to watch TV, or do anything else on Sabbath, except it was okay for my grandmother and my aunt to cook lunch. When we went to visit on Sunday afternoons, it was really drudgery for we children. And I still remember the negative reaction the first time that I went to my best friend's house on a Sunday afternoon rather than going to my grandparents' house in order to play cards and eat homemade yeast rolls. Barry's mother baked pans and pans of yeast rolls, and there were 4 or 5 of us from De Molay that would go there on Sunday afternoons, and about the time we would arrive at 1:30, she would be pulling about 4 or 5 pans of yeast rolls out to sit on the table next to a big pile of butter. And we thoroughly demolished everyone. Of course, I also am reminded of the guy who didn't want to go to church on Sunday. He was an adult, and his wife came in and said, "Come on, it's time to get ready." And he said, "No, I'm not going. You have to go." "No, I do not. I don't have to go if I don't want to." "You're acting like a child." "I don't care. I don't have to go if I don't want to. There are people there that don't like me. There are people there that are mean to me. I'm not going." "But you're the preacher. You have to go." So sometimes when we approach coming to church on that Sunday or day of rest, we really don't approach it with the right attitude. Now, when Sabbath was established in Exodus 16, it was to be a day of worship, a day of thanksgiving, a day of rest from our normal everyday labor. And while the day brought some satisfaction to some of the folks, many considered it a day simply of restriction and regulation. For example, Sabbath day's journey. But you could get around to that in the time of Jesus by, before Sabbath begins, you take a chair or a small table from your house or a pot and go down the road and place it by the side of the road And so your house extended to that point so you could go the Sabbath day's walk beyond that. No writing as Sabbath approached, for when Sabbath arrived, you might make a mistake and actually complete a letter. So as Sabbath was approaching, you had to stop at least an hour ahead of time to make sure you didn't forget. No sewing or stitching just before the Sabbath, because you might forget and place that last stitch in after Sabbath had begun. No cooking. And in the minds of many, no fun. For many people, it was almost like we were made for the good of the Sabbath, so that the Sabbath would be the beneficiary of such. And believe it or not, there are people who approach gathering as church from a lifeless, guess I gotta go, perspective. There really are. However, I would submit that the passages under consideration today really point to a different attitude, encouraged not just by Jesus, but encouraged by the Old Testament writers as well, when we approach Sabbath, or in our case, Sunday. Now wait a minute. The Old Testament's just a whole bunch of do-nots. Rules to make life miserable. Why do we have to look there? Well, first of all, we are in a Judeo-Christian heritage, and the Hebrew Scriptures were the Bible that Jesus quoted. And I also guess it's dependent in part on our attitude. And quite frankly, on how many people in my vocation have presented things for so long that you have to be in drudgery. So for the next few minutes, I want us to reflect a new, or perhaps a old, on what both the Old Testament and Jesus indicate. Now, interestingly, the command or the directive given in Exodus is one of only two of those 10 directives or commands that is not in the form of a prohibition. You shall not. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Both the Hebrews and Jesus saw the Sabbath as a gift from God, not something to be restrictive. Jesus himself says, the Sabbath was made for people, for mankind, not people for the benefit of the Sabbath. For the Hebrews and in the Hebrew Bible, though, remembering is not just a mental act of recalling something, though. This particular Hebrew word carries with it the idea of an expectation that we not only remember it mentally, but then we perform an action of physical participation or ritual which commemorates that which we remember. Additionally, the Hebrew doesn't designate normal days by names either. It really doesn't. We have the first day of the week, the second day of the week, the third day of the week, and so on. However, the seventh day is given two designations. It is the seventh day of the week, which is Sabbath, setting it apart as a special time in the life of the people. The day of the week for rest is associated with the celebration of God's liberation of Israel in the writings of the Deuteronomist, and also in the priestly addition in Exodus, which comes about later. In 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth and rested on the seventh. We also find that the Sabbath was consecrated and blessed as good from the priestly writer's perspective. Now, in Deuteronomy, the second law, that giving of the law again, Sabbath is related to human freedom from slavery. The regulation is not meant to tie us to a new form of slavery or servitude, but it's a celebration of freedom and God's continued blessing, which emphasizes joy as the appropriate reaction, not looking like you just sucked on a jar of dill pickles. Well, for me, it would be that. For some of you, it would be sucking on a lemon. But I eat those things whole, so. But one of joy, not, yeah. Mark Biddle, in a commentary on the book of Deuteronomy concerning Sabbath, writes, and I quote, "The Sabbath commandment addresses the proper rhythm of work and its opposite, rest. The Bible sees work at its best as human cooperation with God in God's creative activity. Work is good, healthy, and even holy. Work becomes toil only as a result of sin. When it cooperates with God's purpose, work can become holy once again. Today, however, people find it difficult to experience any sense of divine purpose or holiness in their lives at work. The Sabbath rest fares no better. Many theologians have noted the ironic dual legacy of Protestant Christianity, the doctrine of justification by grace, and the much vaunted Protestant work ethic. A period of work in cooperation with God's purpose and blessed by God will give way to a period of rest and enjoyment of the gifts and celebration of the giver." End of quote. Sabbath then is to be a time of worship, a time of rest, and a time of joy-filled celebration of relationship with God. It is also to be a time or a day for healing and well-being through that joy and through worship and rest. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus and the disciples began to make a way through the grain fields on the Sabbath. By the way, the word in Greek that we translate "make a way" here reminds readers of the quote from Isaiah in Mark chapter 1, "prepare the way" or "make the way." And they're picking grain. Another interesting thing is Jesus is not leading the group through the field. Rather, they are making the way so that he might follow. And as they do so, picking that grain, they violate one of 39 types of work that are forbidden on the Sabbath. If we go back to Numbers chapter 15, we would find that Moses and Aaron allowed the congregation of Israel to actually stone a man to death because he gathered sticks on the Sabbath, which was another of those 39 prohibitions or types. And so as this happens, Jesus doesn't just have his company of disciples that follow him. He has another group that follows him everywhere, a group of Pharisees. And so these Pharisees see this happen, and they question Jesus about the disciples' action because he was seen as responsible for their conduct. Jesus defends the disciples as he cites an account of King David entering the temple at Nob and taking the bread of the presence, which was sacred. And there are many scholars who think that that also took place on Sabbath, as the fresh bread had just been cooked for the Sabbath. Jesus is arguing here, just as he does when healing on the Sabbath, that this is not work per se. Rather, it is an act of extending freedom and well-being and healing, which is at the base of all Sabbath observance. Many scholars also think that Jesus and his disciples have already been to a place to pray and to worship, and now they are moving along and going through the fields, probably around lunchtime. Kind of like us, right? You know, we gather at 11 o'clock. Why? Because typically historically that gave folks on the farm the opportunity to get their chores done and get cleaned up and ready, and then they could come to worship. Jesus then speaks of the original divine purpose for the principle of Sabbath rest. although the Sabbath was created or given after God creates people, humanity was not made in honor of the Sabbath. By the way, Jesus was not the only one that interpreted things this way. Rabbis interpreted the Sabbath requirement as a gift to sanctify and bless Israel as well. My friend Alan Culpepper writes, Jesus placed the religious priority on meeting basic human needs of others rather than mere ritual. God is served above all when out of love, religious persons serve the needs of others. The Sabbath is not to be taken lightly, therefore, but Sabbath observance should not supersede human need. And I add to that, physical or spiritual. End of quote. Next, then, Jesus looks at this and he brings in this whole sense of Christology. That is, who he is as Christ. He says, the Son of Man has authority over Sabbath. His authority is greater than that of David, the authority of the Son of Man. For you see, Messiah was to be one like King David, or so the Jews thought. Son of Man was a greater title, which, by the way, we'll talk about some tonight. Just a little plug for tonight. Sabbath, then, is for worship of God and for well-being. But what does it mean for us, you and me today? Our world's not really like that, is it? German theologian Jürgen Moltmann writes, and I quote, the Protestant work ethic has virtually eradicated celebration, true enjoyment, and joy, not just in work, but even from the church. Work has become monotonous and joyless for many. And the ethic of efficient production has flavored the life and even the worship of the church. The joy which allows a person to breathe freely becomes a mere tool to compensate for joyless labor. People have lost their capacity for leisure. They no longer know how to do nothing. So they have to do something, even with their leisure time. End of quote. Mark Biddle notes that as a result, churches cannot resist the urge to fill nights and weekends with programs, in many ways, totally indistinguishable from those offered by the workaday world. End of quote. In other words, in our time, the primary difference between Sunday and other days is simply that on Sundays, church gathers. Perhaps it is time that the church rediscover the gift of Sabbath, the creation of a day of rest from the week, a day to worship, to pray, to walk and talk, to eat together, and to share words of healing. Without Sabbath rest, even Christians end up with mountains of stress-relieving medications, trips to doctors, etc. As my friend Alan Culpepper writes, the fact that the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath is no reason for believers not to observe a Sabbath every week. The emphasis of his message should not be put on our freedom from Sabbath observance, but on the good news that the Sabbath is one of God's most gracious gifts and one we should never neglect. End of quote. Jesus came to heal. To heal not just our spirits and our everlasting lives, our souls, through his sacrifice. A meal that we will commemorate in just a few moments. But Jesus came to heal our spirits every day, but especially with a day of rest and worship. And so Sabbath, which Jesus observed weekly throughout his life, that gathering for prayer and worship, for rest and respite from normal labor, is something that we should, as his followers, approach just as he did, filled with celebration and Sabbath joy. Are you joyful? May we pray. Our gracious God, we do admit that many times when we come together, we do not come with joy and anticipation in our hearts. So many other things are on our minds, troubling us, or things that we feel, oh, I've got to get this done today. Help us. Help us to rekindle the joy of coming, of gathering for worship and rest, so that our spirits might be healed and well-being will spread from our gathering into your world. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is hymn number 391. Sweet, sweet Spirit, as we stand and as we sing and prepare our hearts for sharing in this meal. Number 391, sweet, sweet Spirit.